This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. And while everything else that happened this week happened, there was a huge annual trade show organized by the Consumer Technology Association. We know it as CES 2019, the Consumer Electronics Show for the tech masses. One big giant recap, everything good, bad, and ridiculous. Seen, touch, heard, smelt, all of it. After these tech headlines. Speaking of, Intel and Facebook are combining efforts on one AI chip. The two companies announced the partnership at CES this week. The Journal CIO blog notes that the latest reports say that Facebook, which happens to use AI for a variety of tasks, could recognize cost savings in terms of time and energy with a chip designed to handle machine learning. It's been reported that Intel will make the chip available to other companies later in 2019. Google nears a win in Europe over the right to be forgotten. The EU's top court argued this week that Google and other search engines should not be forced to apply the European Union's right to be forgotten beyond the bloc's borders. The right is a concept that people have the civil right to request personal information be removed from the internet. The EU recommendation, if followed, would be a major victory for Google, which for 3 years has been fighting an order from France's privacy regulator to apply the EU principle globally. At issue, can Google and search engines be forced to apply the rule not just in Europe, but anywhere in the world? A final decision from the court is expected in coming months. And Samsung has something shiny and foldable to show off in February. And as you may have heard, the foldable contraption is a phone. Samsung also will unveil the 10th anniversary flagship phone at events in San Francisco and London. As The Wall Street Journal reported in November, the company is preparing a major tech upgrade for the 10th anniversary Galaxy S10, adding bigger screens and more cameras. The grand unveiling of it all is set to take place February 20th. It is hinted to partners that the foldable screen phone could be released in April, although no final decision has been made. The name is still being determined, with Fold or Galaxy Fold, as well as Galaxy F, as three possibilities. Coming up, diving into all things Consumer Electronics Show 2019, the good, the bad, and the insane, what the biggest tech companies have to offer at the world's biggest tech show and tell. This week in Las Vegas, the annual Electronics and Innovation Show, some call it a circus, essentially finds clues about the tech future. It appears that there are all kinds of tech trends on the horizon, some of them quite weird, all of them fascinating. Here to talk about it all with us are our tech editors at the Journal. We have Brian Fitzgerald in the New York podcast studio and Wilson Rothman joining us via Skype. Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Thank you.
So, I mean, there is so much to get into. It's always a big deal every year. This year seems extra crazy. I'm sure we all say that every year because really on everyone's mind is this 5G hype. I know it's not punk rock to think 5G is cool just yet because that's
you.
Well, that's the thing, because we're not quite there yet, right? Everyone thinks we're there, but we're not really. Is CES validation of this?
Define 5G, Tanya. No, I'm
well,
kidding.
That's it, right?
Honestly,
what,
no one
what
can.
Is it?
No, nobody can
that's
define 5G.
That's actually astute editorial wisdom there from Wilson, right?
Right.
We highlighted two 5G hotspots. Both of them, in terms of that definition thing, operate on this higher frequency, really high frequency wavelength that these new hotspots and routers can do. So we had one that's a mobile hotspot, kind of what we used to call a MiFi, and it takes that signal and turns it into Wi-Fi that our devices right now can use, because none of our devices can get on this crazy high frequency stuff. And the other thing, it's a home gateway, right? So 5G, even though it's a wireless technology, it's actually aimed at the home initially, because I think, frankly, it's easier to make sure homes get coverage.
I'm going to just stop you for a second because Fitzy is in here. He pantomimed hanging himself with his tie as you were speaking.
Okay.
So I'd love to... I got the signal, so take it away.
So Fitzy, go ahead, Fitzy.
No, that was,
you could have just spoken up.
That was not for public
well,
consumption,
I think
Tanya.
The public should have. I really
public deserves to know,
look,
Fitzy.
Wilson,
so do I.
Wilson is my digital Sherpa when it comes to CES, but my feeling with 5G is that, you know, the technology is not there for the consumer yet, but like a lot of technologies, you know, the hardware and the devices are gonna arrive on people's, you know, in their imagination and at these conferences and trade shows well ahead of the actual, you know, either bandwidth or the technology being there for people to use them. And so, you know, my question for you, Wilson, is, was there anything like immediately usable for people they should take away from CES? Like, what's the first good use of 5G that CES told us?
I mean, the first thing that anyone should do before buying anything is to check their carrier's coverage map.
There you go.
Because honestly, there's like three cities maybe that have AT&T. There's like two cities maybe that have Verizon right now. I mean, it's really not a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of promise. But the city maps are what we're really looking at. And of course, as everyone who's ever carried a cell phone knows, even when your city is, quote, covered, your house may be completely in the dark.
That's right.
So
I think I just got LTE.
Don't even. Yeah.
All right.
Obviously, that's really it.
You mentioned moving around or kind of, I don't know, that brought me to a segue I was toying with about automotive stuff, because what I really want to do is talk about the air taxi, is what it comes down to. Automotive, you know, there's so many things happening by way of advancements in car tech, but when I saw the drone-like helicopter that they're saying could be hailed as an Uber, in the too distant, what do you think about this? What is to be said about this?
Wilson, I don't know, are we ready for the Jetsons?
I mean, this is a hexcopter. It really looks like a toy drone, only it can fit, I think, four passengers and a pilot.
I thought it was a drone. When I saw the picture, I honestly thought it was a toy drone.
Right. No, and it's a full size. It's an air taxi. It's called the Bell Nexus. But the thing is, they say mid 2020s, which okay. I always add 5 years to whatever
right.
they're
right.
saying. You know,
right.
I'm like, okay, if the people hyping it say mid 2020s, then it's going to be 2030.
Mm.
Before and also to me it's like, okay, once you get all that sorted out, especially with the FAA, what we're talking, is it still just going to be like the owner of our corporation and some other owners of corporations that are taking these air taxis? I still don't see myself like paying the Uber driver and giving him the tip for an air taxi ride. I just
right.
kind of
See, I absolutely see myself doing that.
Yeah, right. Well, sure. You're in our dreams, right? I'd love to. I got to get uptown, right? Who wants to take a cab? But, you know, it's not as if someone's going to have this thing land on their lawn and then it's going to drop them on 6th Avenue in New York. Like, you're going to have to build up places for them to land, and if it's going to be rooftops and make it safe, et cetera, et cetera. Again, loop back in the regulators. So the purveyors of these technologies need to say, it's sooner than you think, whatever you think might mean. But you're right that whatever number you have in your head, whatever date, just add 5 years. And that's probably even optimistic.
Yeah.
Let's move on to ground transportation, because some wacky stuff is happening in that arena.
Fitzy's scared. Yeah. He's scared.
Yeah, no, you know, like, you know, so Tanya, I sit next to Wilson at work and, you know, he taps me on the shoulder. I just see like a walking robot rescue automated vehicle. And I just looked at him and I said, we're doomed. You know, it's like one of many that are just going to, you know, eventually rise up and take over humanity. And
yeah, this one scares me a little bit more. But Wilson,
it's a car.
Yeah.
It's a Hyundai Elevate. Unlike other cars, its wheels are built at the end of legs that can articulate like a robot. So you got kind of joints and a swivel. So you see these videos of this thing picking its way through rubble after, you know, some sort of cataclysmic disaster. It's like, you know, once we do ourselves in as a human race, these things are going to be there to clean up for us, I guess, is the message. But I mean, a really simple example was the one we used in the paper. It could back up to the top of a brownstone of the steps of a building, in other words, and pick up someone who otherwise couldn't get up and down, you know, the steps. So it's like a whole new way of thinking about just getting around town. Too.
Very good. Let's talk TVs. I really want a lot of these TVs that I saw in the shape of walls. They roll up and down. They do all the things that I've been waiting for them to do. It seems like a really good year for TVs.
It's a good year for like flagship sort of almost prototype TVs that are sort of going to be sold to people as rich as Jeff Bezos.
Well, that's the thing.
It's a good year for the direction of TVs to finally like
what TVs
we're kind
can
of
be.
Going in the new direction that we've been promised for so many years. Mm. We're definitely going there now.
Well, Wilson, what was to you, you know, observing everything that happened at CES, what was the best TV technology?
Well, we've heard about OLED for a long time. And one of the key characteristics of OLED was that it didn't need a sheet of glass to, you know, LCD, the normal TV technology we're very used to in our homes now, that needs a sheet of glass, whereas OLED doesn't. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into too much of the explanation there, but it doesn't. And that's why what you saw coming to market for the first time is LG's signature OLED TV R, and the R stands for rollable. It's got this big speaker box at the bottom of it, and basically the TV, I'm not kidding, rolls up inside the speaker box.
The iPhone XR is not rollable, right? Just checking. What? The iPhone XR is not rollable.
The XR is not rollable. Okay. The R there stands for reduced expectations.
Okay.
Right, but continue. That's a different podcast altogether.
Fair enough.
So this rollable TV is amazing. And that's what OLED's promise. Like, I'm telling you, I wrote about something in, like, I want to say 2003, 2004 about OLED. And that was the promise even then, was flexible material. You don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be rigid, and it can be wearable, and it can be just bent in all different directions.
Oh, it's fascinating. Samsung is going to bring out a foldable phone in the coming months, right? And so I think what you're saying resonates, right? Like this stuff, which has been, you know, we talked about for a decade about it. It's coming. You know, journalists like to think of it in terms of foldable, you know, foldable screen newspapers. But, you know, the consumer technologies, you know, what I'm hearing from you is that they're getting there.
Before we go, because it can never be said enough, some of this stuff is just ridiculous. So I, from both of you, I'd love your favorite, if you have a contender for most ridiculous tech contraption at CES 2019. What do you think?
All right, Wilson, you go first.
Well, you know, ridiculous is a kind of a judgmental word. What I found something that I thought was horrifying in some ways. I found it's basically a $150 gunfire detector. Basically, you treat it like a smoke alarm or a carbon monoxide alarm that you'd have in your house. Of course, the market here is really businesses and schools, but still, you think about it. It's this little thing that hangs on the wall and can detect gunfire. And not only can it detect gunfire, it can identify within reason what kinds of weapons are being fired.
Wow.
I mean, we live in a society where someone can credibly create a gunfire detector for businesses and schools. Yeah. And that should give us all pause.
Let's just think about that for a second. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, so I think the one thing that sort of caught my attention was a device that was a wireless charging station, but rather than something, you know, you put your phone on and can still look at it, it's almost like a vase, and you would have to, you drop your phone in it so your phone can wirelessly charge, but you also can't see your phone anymore. And so it's like it takes it out of sight, takes it out of mind. And so it's just kind of like in a technology show glorifying technology, here is something that we've created for you to be able to hide your technology.
Yeah, this is all obviously very visual, so I encourage listeners to check it all out at wsj.com/tech. Editors, thank you very much, Wilson and Brian. We always love having
you. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
That's it for the Tech News Briefing. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.